Good morning and welcome to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. I'm Lance Kenmore and you can contact me anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977. We're here every Saturday morning on News Talk 870, and as always, I like to thank Mr. John McKay and everybody here at the radio station for working to make this happen. John, how you doing over there?
Doing good.
Yes.
Praying for a white. It's not going to happen.
It doesn't look promising in the forecast.
And no.
It has been warm. I mean, it's been like September, October out there. So I think it's going to rain, and that's might as close to there might still be a white Christmas, but it would have to get pretty cold.
Yeah, at the North Pole.
We have with us our in-house lending specialist, Mike Denslow. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm done.
You're done.
The tree is great.
Last radio show before Christmas. The presents are under it.
Yeah, I'm not running out and doing any last minute today. So this is all good.
Okay, absolutely. Fantastic. Yeah, I think I'm in good shape also. We got a bunch of stuff done early. Thank you, Amazon. Thank you, everybody, for delivering packages. So yeah, we're looking pretty good.
You got to watch out for the porch pirates, though.
Yeah, no, we definitely had those delivered to the office, so we could also hide them and accept those packages for sure. So
we dealt with it by leaving a booby trap out.
Oh boy, I saw some videos about that. Definitely not grabbing those at McKay's house. For
I won't tell you what's
sure.
inside, but they'll have an unforgettable experience.
You know, that kind of parlays into a little bit of real estate talk, because they have been working, you know, on prototypes in last year and some of the other markets, to where, similar to how real estate agents have a lockbox that lets you into the house, that Amazon would have deliveries with your Amazon door lock.
Yep.
And they could just open the door and stick your package inside there. What do you think, Mike?
I don't know.
You're questioning that a little bit.
We heard about that.
we heard about that, and we do not have that.
Yeah, I don't think that's down. I think maybe more there's a box on your porch that's got a lock on it, and they could put something in that.
That's not bad. In some of the bigger cities, they have the package drops where you get a combination.
Yep.
Go to the main central package drop and pick it up. So
I'd be okay with that.
Okay, we're okay with the package drop. I'm returning my Amazon door lock that I bought Mike Denslow for Christmas. I'm returning that. I messed up on that one. Well, before we jump into this week's story, we always like to start off with our crazy celebrity real estate story. This one coming out of Realtor.com, and I thought there was a lot of hilarious, interesting points to this story, and the headline was, why hasn't anyone bought Elvis Presley's Palm Springs honeymoon home? So it has, it's a mid-century modern, which is kind of in vogue right now. A lot of people are looking for those, but it's a 5,000 square foot house on an acre lot with a pool, and it was the honeymoon house of Elvis and Priscilla Presley. Now, interestingly enough, that home has bounced off and on the market since 2014. Back on the market and has been on for the last 4 months. But in 2014, it started at $9.5 million. Which was interesting, is the neighborhood it was in had a history of selling from between $1 to $1.5 million. So they were definitely trying to take advantage of the history factor there. Then you look at it too, it also needs a lot of updating. And so is someone really going to spend, you know, $9 million and then another $1 million updating? Well, the answer to that was probably no. So recently what the part of the story that just cracked me up is, there was also, the current owner had two other lots for sale and this house. Well, they received an offer that was $4 million for all three properties with the additional lots. But the buyer couldn't close. Buyer couldn't come up. Either their loan didn't get approved, they didn't get their money together. As it stated in the article, the buyer couldn't come up with the necessary documents to close. The last time I checked, you needed dollar bills, not documents, unless we're talking loan docs here. So since that offer, one of the vacant lots sold. Then they had an Australian person from an Australian woman who put the house under contract. And then her financing got put on hold. She was trying to do two other deals at the same time. So they went out of escrow on that deal. So then what happened, because they had lowered the price to $2.6 million. So then what happened, the article said, in the last week or two, they've actually had several offers on the home. And the owner believed that the multiple offers... And this is a special client here. The owner believed that the multiple offers were a sign that they had now priced the home too low, so raised the price back up to $3 million. Mike?
I'm tired of that. Yeah.
I mean, this was like a daytime drama here. Oh,
yeah. Too much. Too much.
So Elvis. Elvis home.
Don't be cruel.
Not so. Don't be cruel. So there you have it. That's our crazy celebrity real estate story. Well, this time of year, we're starting to see it pop up all over. I'm seeing it in the blogs that I'm reading it. I'm listening to it in podcasts, and it's the top 10 time of year, Mike. And so what I did is I went to some of the national real estate articles, and so I pulled off National Association of Realtors released an article called "The Top 10 Threats to Real Estate in 2019." So there wasn't a lot out there for top 10 list, and so I thought, gosh, this is a great one because I can go through this top 10 list and then see how applicable it is to our local market. And recently, more than probably any other time in the last 15 to 20 years, Tri-Cities has been following the national trend more than they normally do. In, you know, years past, if you looked at different periods, a lot of times we were bucking the national trend and kind of going the opposite. But the last couple of years, Tri-Cities has been following the national trends, which scares me a little bit. But let's look at what they say the top 10 threats in real estate are for 2019, and then we're going to talk a little bit about how we feel about that in our local economy. Number one, on the brain, especially this week, we saw some action out of the Fed. Number one thing that top current issues to watch is interest rates and the economy. So as interest rates have been rising, and we've seen that, and we saw what happened this week with the Fed, a lot of that was built into the market. But as interest rates are rising, generally that has been known to cause decreased demand for commercial property and higher home mortgage rates. And so as rate increases happen, that makes homes less affordable. For especially the entry-level buyers. Also, there's been a lot of talk that the wage growth that has gone on in the economy, a lot of that wage growth has happened in the upper tier, wealthiest portions of the population, and not as much in the lower tier. So we really see this hard hit when we look at millennial buyers being the largest buying group right now in the country. And trying to get into a first-time home, but with interest rates rising. So this is 100% applicable. So this national trend and this threat is 100% in my mind applicable to our local economy here. This is definitely something that we see on a daily basis. We see people being concerned about rates rising. I probably talked to 4 or 5 different clients this week about that. In fact, even the dental hygienist that was cleaning my teeth was concerned about rising interest rates and what they were doing with their housing next week. So this is one of those things where I look at this top 10 list and I say, wow, nailed it. So that is definitely something that people are constantly asking questions about. I know at Home Street, Mike, I know when you guys are looking at pre-approvals and stuff, as interest rates rise and people's payments go up, then they can't afford the same type of house that they could before.
Yeah, normally I will give clients an idea of where the rates are now and what the payment looks like, and then if it was a quarter higher as well, just so they have a range.
Yep, that's smart.
It might be $40, $50, $60 more a month if it goes up a quarter, but it just depends on where they're at in the process, if they're going to build, if they're going to be, you know, buying or look out there aggressively looking right now, just so they have a comfort level. And that normally helps with sleeping at night.
Yeah, absolutely, because I can imagine what you don't want to have happen is, I've seen this in new construction before, maybe somebody's really tight. Maybe they're, you know, maybe their debt to income ratio, that payment is down to $60, you know, $60 a month. And then, you know, if something tragic, and this is not at all what we saw happened, but maybe then the 6 months while they're building the house, rates go up half a point.
Mm. Well, that's why we have long-term locks.
Ah, nice. I mean, perfect. So tools that people can talk to you about help take some of that risk out.
Well, when they're building a home especially, because, yeah, you don't want to give out a pre-approval and get everyone excited and a whole bunch of, let's say, non-refundable earnest money.
Yep.
And now all of a sudden you don't qualify. I mean, that's just, yeah. So we like to get rates locked in early, and then you're secure on what your max payment would be.
Okay, good information there from Mike also. So obviously very applicable in his business too. Number two on the list, and man, this one is definitely out there. Politics and political uncertainty.
Yes.
So as one of the top 10 threats to real estate in 2019, one of the things that they're looking at is tax reform. We've seen the policies about balancing trade with other countries. Well, some of those policies, we saw steel prices go drastically higher at the beginning of the year. Well, a lot of times we have commercial buildings that were quoted with steel. People go out to bid on, say, a commercial building 9-10 months prior to they build it. Once again, you know, I'm daily talking to people in this industry and locally. Once again, I read this as a threat to real estate in 2019. I met with an architect this week, and he said, "Hey, you know the XYZ building in Richland?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Yeah, we had to switch to wood frame. Originally, we would have done that building steel studs, but we switched to wood frame because the price of steel had gone up." So it's interesting how that political uncertainty, originally I saw this as number two, and then I was like, no way. And then I read into it a little bit more, did the research, and I thought, gosh, you know what? I just sat down with the local architect at the coffee shop this week, and this absolutely impacted and changed the things we were doing here locally. So, and as a side note for that, I did a little bit of fun research. So we don't think political uncertainty has a real estate angle to it. Why don't we talk to Paul Manafort, former Trump campaign chairman? McKay, is he in trouble?
I've heard.
He got in a little bit of trouble, and now, as part of his plea deal, is giving up five of his properties that he owned, including one in Trump Tower, a Soho condo, a Brooklyn brownstone, and another condo in New York. Apparently, there was a little issue there with some loan fraud. So there you go. Political uncertainty, direct impact into the real estate market. Number three, before we go to our first break, and I'm going to toss this one out here, and that is housing affordability. Housing affordability, lack of affordable homes across different income brackets, that makes it tough. You know, we've got low wages, rising mortgage rates, and the underproduction of housing. We look here, we've talked a long time about our market being below 1,000 units. And traditionally, that's been crazy for our market. We now look at appreciation over the last 3 years. Entry-level homes now, a lot of times having a two in front of them, a couple years ago, they had a one in front of them. And so that is, that's a big factor. They nailed that one too. We're dealing with it here in our local market. And so that is something that we will be, you know, looking for as we help first-time home buyers get into homes, as we find different segments, different areas for them to look at to make it work. So housing affordability, big one. And Mike, how does that come into play with you at Home Street?
I was just going to say, before we go to break, in the next segment, we're definitely going to talk about the robots, right?
Yeah, we're going to talk about the robots. AI.
Yeah.
Artificial intelligence in real estate when we come back.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're having too much fun today. These shows at the end of the year always get kind of fun because we've got... The top 10 lists are coming out. I mean, mm-hmm. I figured if Jimmy Kimmel's doing it, if everybody's knocking out the top 10 list. So I pulled up top 10 threats to real estate in 2019. Mm-hmm. One of the things that Mike was talking about, and it was on my list, is before the break, he mentioned the robots. And in general circles, the robots are also known as AI or artificial intelligence.
Bots.
And on my list is, as a threat to real estate, as we know it, is disruptive technology. So every aspect of real estate is really undergoing a dramatic change. You see the Zestimates, so the value of your house that they think it is. You see mm-hmm. home valuations, homes.com, HomeLight. There's a lot of different people trying to throw the artificial intelligent quotients at the industry and automate it. So there's a lot of things that comes into play with that. And off air, Mike and I were talking about technologies and what's going on with technology. But they've gotten, I would say, over the course of the last 4 to 5 years, as many things evolve and do, they've gotten better.
Well, informationally. You can get information, but it can't replace
the interpretation.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it is. And I know you see it on the lending side, and then on the real estate side, we see it a lot too, because a lot of times that, you know, that computer and that equation, you know, it doesn't know exactly where the new restaurants are coming. It doesn't know that this is the IT school district. And trust me, when people call us out to their house, they ask us questions like that. Like, where do people want to be? Where are people trending to? And mm-hmm. a lot of times, if we're embedded in the community and we know what's going on, and we're in the Rotary Club and we talk to people and we work with developers, I still like to think that we're beating the AI, Mike.
Yeah, and on the lending side, it's the same thing. I mean, you're trying to automate a process, and every client, every borrower, every buyer is going to be different. Different credit, different income, different assets, different situation. Mm-hmm. And trying to automate a, you know, self-employed, getting money from another sale and bringing it in and starting a new job. It's just, there's so many moving parts. Our office does about 1,000 loans a year, and not one is the same. And I know you see it too. And I don't, mm-hmm. you just automating that, unless you had a development that had 500 homes and they were all exactly the same and everyone had the same job and everyone had the same credit, and okay.
Yeah, then we'd have a chance.
But that's not realistic.
Yeah, and like I tell people, there's portions of it that are good, and even these have different discrepancies. Now, for instance, where they usually do get it right, like if someone tells me where, for instance, Ajo, you know, Ajo built in West Pasco off of Road 68, you know, 1,000 homes, you know, that were 1,092 square feet. We call them a 1092 in the industry. Zillow gets the 1092 pretty close, because 5 or 6 of them will sell every month, and they'll generally sell within $1,000 or $2,000 of each other. They get those pretty close. But if someone has added on to a house or added a bedroom, or it happens to be by a busy intersection, and they've upgraded the countertops. Now, when those changes start to happen, it becomes more subjective, where you do need to kind of be hands-on.
One's clean, one's run down, one backs up to the highway.
Absolutely. So I do think the AI, one of the things that I hope it does, and it definitely has helped us as practitioners, though, is the AI, I will tell you, does allow me to look at a larger number of data sets faster.
Right.
So, for instance, in the old days, I used to say, like, okay, I'm looking at this 3-bedroom, 2-bath house. I might have had to look through 100 listings to find those 3-bedroom, 2-bath houses manually. Now I can hit a button. My database will filter it. Now I might get 10 of the 3-bedroom, 2-baths, and then I can go through and decide based upon my local knowledge of those 10, you know, which 3 are the best comparables. So it's really, really helpful in getting me from the 100 to the 10, and I still think less helpful from going from the 10 to the 3.
Yeah, it helps with efficiency, but as far as the interpretation, as you said, it just doesn't replace the good real estate agent. It just doesn't.
Absolutely. Now, the next long-term issue that that comes up and that was on the list for a potential threat to real estate in 2019, and that is infrastructure. They listed it as, in the Realtor.com article, as roads, bridges, airports, water and sewer lines, electricity, and public transit as many sources of this rapidly deteriorating. So there's going to need $4.5 as a country trillion dollars to improve critical infrastructure by 2025. One of the things that I said, now this was one of the points that I looked at in the article, that I do think it has a major effect on Tri-Cities, I don't think that is a really good indication of Tri-Cities. I think we have done a fantastic job, and I mean, maybe fantastic isn't the right word. There might be some people that disagree if the potholes are all in their street. But I think overall, and I'm in a lot of communities every month in different cities and different areas of the country, overall, I see the number of highways we have, the lack of congestion that we have, you know, how nice our schools look and the parks are maintained. Infrastructure-wise, I think in comparison, and one of the reasons we've had such good growth the last 5 or 6 years, I feel like we've pretty dialed in this area.
Yeah, I think it's great too. You look at, they're really planning things out better and better and better. And I'm looking forward to seeing how things look in 5 to 10.
And you do see, I think it was a month ago, I'd have to go back in my notes and look, but we did a little segment on City of Pasco's budget, and in there was I don't have my notes in front of me for that, but it was $1 to $2 million of major sewer extension going out to the Road 100 area. So putting in that infrastructure ahead of time that we need for that growth. So this is one of the areas where in Tri-Cities, I feel less concerned than the national market is dealing with that. The next one that was on the list, again, I feel, and this was listed as one of the top 10 threats to real estate, natural disasters and climate change. And it said the ongoing threat of natural disasters. Once again, here's a thing where I feel very, very fortunate for our area and where we're located, that I do feel that we're somewhat isolated from this. I mean, we look at what the
windstorms,
the hurricanes and the windstorms and the floods. I mean,
fires.
We've dealt with some of that this year in real estate. And we had the fires like Mike said and stuff, but nothing compared to like California or Florida or the East Coast. Like, we're so insulated from this that I feel that when looking and relating this article specifically to Tri-Cities, I just feel very lucky. And I think that we are totally insulated from that factor.
Yeah, I agree. What's the next one, Lance?
The next one on the list comes into play, and it was kind of cool to see it on this list, and that's immigration. Immigration was on the list as affecting. It said, if reduced by law, they feel it will have a negative impact on new housing starts and home purchases and worsen the current skilled labor shortage that helps build those properties and then eventually ends up spending the money and filling those properties. So really making sure they get the immigration laws correct and the right balance is going to have an effect on housing. And then the very last one, I know Mike and I could have gone on and on with this show. The very last one, very applicable. Energy and water. Vital to the real estate market. Mm-hmm. The laws concerning energy and water, the availability of energy and water, what we're doing to keep that energy and water clean and at a lower cost has a huge impact on real estate. And so that's a big one. I know we're constantly looking out for those articles and what comes out in this area. There was a big one last year with wells and water rights and development. And so for me, they listed that one last on this article list. I probably have that in my top four when I'm looking at our area and what allows us to have growth. So there you have it, folks. That was our top 10 threats to the real estate industry in 2019. Mike, for people wanting to take advantage of the new year, get ready to buy in January, how can they get a hold of you?
572-3651. And happy holidays, everyone.
Absolutely. If you have any questions at all about that, feel free to go to kenmoreteam.com and shoot us a message. Enjoy some time off. Enjoy Christmas. And we will talk to you for our last show of 2019 next
exactly.
week. 2018.
Yeah,
I'm already in 2019. Have a great Christmas, everybody. Talk to you next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.